exclusive. Big Rob, how you doing today, brother?
I'm fine, sir. And you?
Doing good. Doing good. I think we might have lost our guest.
Just that quick, huh?
Yeah. She was just there.
She was just there.
In the background. But we might have lost her. But we can maybe do our introduction while she logs back in today's discussion dealing with racial discrimination in the healthcare industry.
Yes.
And today's guest is a doctoral candidate at the Florida School of Professional Psychology at NLU. And she's conducting a research examining the factors connected to discrimination in the healthcare field. So we want to welcome to the show Ms. Priscille Lloyd. How are you doing today, Ms. Lloyd?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's grateful. We're grateful to have you here. I heard about the study that you're conducting in regards to racism in the healthcare field. Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, I mean, as anyone who's been in a doctoral program knows, it's part of our requirements to graduate to complete a research project. And I've had a long history of being very interested in identity development as a whole. And through my time at my current university, I had exposure to a number of conferences centered on Black issues and Black identity development. And so that sparked some interest. So my particular research now is examining how racial identity can influence health-seeking behavior. And when I'm talking about health-seeking, I'm talking about both medical and psychological health-seeking behavior.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, what made you pick this particular topic?
Well, I was fortunate enough to have exposure to the Association of Black Psychologists. I went to a number of their conferences. Being able to see African Americans and other Black individuals at the top of their field discussing issues that were particular to African Americans was quite empowering. Often at other conferences, you kind of get diluted in the conversation of so many other things that's going on. And so be able to see people who are comfortable in their skin, who they are, and speaking about Black issues directly just motivated me to want to do something that was a little bit more focused. However, living in a Black body in the United States, you experience a number of obstacles and challenges on your own throughout all areas. So not just medical, academically, just in the system, in this society, it's built up on racial inequities and slavery, and it's just pervasive throughout all areas of life. So I wanted to maybe look a little bit more at the disparities that are affecting African Americans in the healthcare system and in mental health care. And there are many different ways I could have looked at it, but I figured let's focus on what I call strength-based research, not so much trying to point out what's wrong with the African American community or what African Americans may be doing wrong, because as you know, a lot of the research that's we end up finding our single mothers are at the cause for this, or, you know, Black fathers not being there, the cause for this. And there are so many other stresses that we have as a people. So I'm focused on maybe doing more doing research that shows our strength and our resilience. But also, when it comes to increasing access to care, it's important to kind of look at all factors and the parts that we can control, and how we are and how we identify and how we look at the world and we experience the world, to see how we can craft language and do outreach to reach those individuals, to help empower them to advocate more for themselves, to get greater access to the healthcare system. That will not do it alone, because there's so many other issues that impact that. But where we can gain our power back is what I'm trying to look at.
Right. What have you seen? Anything that so far? I know you just get into this research, but I'm sure you got some data so far. Yeah. What have you seen to come down to disparities?
Yeah, I haven't examined the data that's coming to me yet for this particular research, but it's not a new area as far as interest. We know, and it's now being acknowledged by the different medical boards, psychology board, that there is indeed a disparity. We know this, we experience it, right? but right. there are actually more acknowledgement of the disparities out there. So we know, medically speaking, that African Americans are more likely to die from very preventable diseases such as hypertension, diabetes, you know, high blood pressure, of those sorts. So, and it's very preventable diseases. And when you look at Black women, they're still dying at a higher rate during childbirth. A lot of times they're being sent home, not given proper care. You know, pain is not managed well. Medication is not being provided to alleviate for a better quality of life, because they want to maybe think that it's all in their head. And we've seen lots of stories, even recently, that highlights this treatment. I think, I'm going to forget her name, but there recently was a doctor, and I don't want to call her name wrong, but who died due to COVID, who made a post, you know, asking for assistance, letting people know that she wasn't getting the care that she needed, being scared for her health, you know, feeling the doctors were dismissing her concerns over the pain that she was experiencing, you know, treating her as if she was a drug dealer or a drug user. And in the end, you know, she didn't get the care that she wanted and she died. And it just exemplifies some of the issues that we're fighting against, of people believing that we're experiencing what we're experiencing and being provided equitable treatment, because inherent biases and just the systematic racism that exists in the healthcare system is quite pervasive.
Wow. Now, you're seeking stories from you want people to participate in this research. You're looking for people.
Yeah, you can repeat that for me, Mr. Billing.
Yeah, you're looking for people to participate in this research.
Yes.
The research that you're doing.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So, all right.
Yeah. So,
tell us how do people. Yeah. Tell us how do people get involved and be a part of the research.
Okay. So there's a number of ways that you can get access to the survey, and I would appreciate anyone who'd be willing to take it and pass it on, because the more participants I can get, the stronger the research will be, the more viable the data will be. But you can get access to it by emailing me directly, GLLOYD, that's G Lloyd, at my.nl.edu. And I will gladly send you a link to the survey. I also have a Facebook group that I created that people can go access the survey and also sign up to participate, so they can see the results when I do have them. And you can find it by just searching Black Racial Identity and Health on Facebook, and a group that comes up. You'll see my picture, and you'll see a link for the survey on there also. And you can go to SurveyMonkey directly, which is who's hosting the survey that I my survey.
Okay.
But it's www.surveymonkey.com/r/health-seeking-behavior.
Okay. Now, are you looking just for patients, or are you looking for doctors, nurses, CNAs, CPAs, all of those?
All of the above. Anyone who identifies as African American or Black, and is 18 years old and older and live in the United States, is eligible to take the survey. I would love to get more males. Right now, the return rate is about 75% female, 25% male, and I would love to get some more millennial, just so I have a more representative sample. But I appreciate all of those who have has completed the survey already, and hopefully other people will join in.
Now, what happens after you get all this information together? I know you're using this for your doctoral degree, but is it possible this information become published?
That's my hope. That's indeed my hope and my goal. So once it's done, you know, I get to present it in front of a team of people who decide, you know, if they approve. And once that's done, I will get the whole entire research bound. But then I hope to be able to publish it in a few different journals, and I will be trying to do that. But like I said, anyone who's interested in getting access to what the results will be, I will also post them in that Facebook group. Because I know a lot of times people can participate in some of these things and they never get follow-up. So if they're interested in finding out about the results. I'll post it in there when I do have it.
Ms. Lloyd, do you believe during this pandemic that some discrimination might have contributed to the high numbers among African Americans? COVID-19. Do you believe that maybe discrimination or disparity played a factor with African Americans having such a high number of COVID-19 cases and deaths?
Oh yes. I mean, when you talk about systematic racism, for some people it's too large of a concept to grasp, but it permeates through all areas of our lives, right? So some people will cite that it's an economic disparity maybe, which is possible, but racism and systematic racism also plays a part in that, doesn't it? And just how doctors, the access that African Americans have to care has always been less for a number of factors. So absolutely racism plays a part in that. And then the physicians, honestly, a lot of them have implicit bias. And even the African American physicians, because we internalize a lot of the messages that we get growing up. And so it's hard for that not to come out. So if an African American female or male comes to you complaining of certain symptoms, they're more likely to get dismissed and say, come back when it's more severe, right? So when they finally do get access to the care, it's almost, the prognosis is worse because they're so much further along. But just
that's
the attitudes,
major.
Yeah.
That's major what you just
said.
Yeah, that's major what you just said. But we have, Rob, we know about cases like that where people went to the doctor and they sent them home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then for them, we know, I know someone personally that died because of COVID-19. Sent them home. Yeah. And 2 days later, they passed. Anything, hey Rob, you got anything before we go? Any other questions?
Oh no, this is great and informative.
Yeah, anything else you want to share, Ms. Lloyd?
No, other than I encourage people to always advocate for themselves, trust your gut. You know, if something is telling you that something is wrong or you're being treated wrong, don't just, you know, turn and walk away. Complain, make an official complaint, and of course, participate in a research to advocate for change.
There you go. All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for providing me this time and space.
We got to. It's important. That's how we get to the answers, right? Get it out there. Well, peace and blessings to you. All right.
And good luck on your doctoral.
Next time we talk to Rob, it's gonna be Dr. Lloyd.
Dr. Lloyd.
That's right. Everyone call me Doc because I worked hard for this
thing. All right. You know, we did have a comment come on. From Randy Huckabee Dang, he said, I thought there was no cure for COVID-19. So if they send someone home, what difference would it make unless they're treating other illness? They're not saying it's a cure, but they have used some antibiotics to treat it. They have treated the symptoms. If somebody has pneumonia that is caused by COVID-19, you treat pneumonia, right? And you try to treat that.
Right.
Yeah. And if they catch it early enough, like with any disease, if you catch it early enough, your prognosis is greater, right? So turning away people are not having access to care is deadly, as we've seen.
There you go. All right. Have a good day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.